This podcast is brought to you by Art Margins, the online journal of East and Central European contemporary art. Download more podcasts and read interviews, articles, and reviews at www.artmargins.com.
A conversation with Marge Moncourt on Monday, the 27th of May. Maybe we can begin with a question about your education as an artist. You were educated in Estonia, in Tallinn, and perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your education here in Estonia as an artist.
Yes, as you said, I have graduated from Estonian Academy of Arts. I studied actually in the Department of Photography, which then in the beginning of 2000s actually wasn't included to the Department of Visual Arts. It was in the Department of Media, and it was a very significant division between those departments, and now the photography department actually has become the one who is really the producing is not a good word, but really there have many contemporary artists grown up from this department, so I think it's a very interesting time that I have spent there. And during my studies I graduated 2008. Before that I also spent one semester in Vienna in the Academy of University of Applied Art there. So and since then I have been active as an artist, and I'm also teaching in the Academy of Arts.
How would you assess the possibilities for young artists from Estonia to establish themselves in a broader context, let's say of Europe, or even beyond the borders of Europe?
Mm-hmm. I think I don't want to sound too pessimistic, but I really do think that right now the possibilities are very limited. And this is very sad, and of course it's also very difficult to teach art in these circumstances. And the reason why it is right now like that is that the local institutions are not really they are not oriented internationally enough. So I tried to explain it somehow. And of course there are very limited number of institutions who are working with contemporary art, let's say. So that's why I feel that there is somehow a glass wall between us and the rest of the international art scene. As I said, the local art field is very small, there are not so many places to show your work, and of course I think the one important thing is also that the local market is very, very small, and art market. So that's why I think that there is a lot of work to do.
Before the recent recession and economic crisis, Tallinn was considered a boom town. Its economic development was very rapid, and when you go through the town, you can see it. It seems like many old parts have been torn down, and many new buildings and banks and insurances and so forth have gone up. What has been the result of this boom, which is now in the past probably, for contemporary art? And for contemporary artists?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is actually a very straight link also to the situation of the artist, because it concerns funding, and the most of the funding comes through the cultural capital of Estonia, and cultural capital gets its money from the taxes. And taxes that are concerned to like linked to the sale of alcohol and gambling and cigarettes. So and of course because of the recession, the gambling and also I think partly the use of alcohol was decreasing. Also the money is now. There is less money now, and of course there were very harsh cuts also in the funding of cultural ministry. I don't remember the percents exactly, but still the money that goes to the art in the cultural ministry, the whole budget of cultural ministry is 1%, which goes to arts, visual arts. So it's and it was also cut. So yes, it's I think it had a very direct impact on the artist also.
Politically, one has the impression that the intensification of economic development and capitalism in Estonia goes hand in hand with a very strong undercurrent of nationalism that has important consequences, especially for the relationship between Estonians and the Russian minority. This is, of course, something that you've worked on quite a bit. So I would be interested in your own take on, in your own perspective on this issue, but also how difficult is it for artists to intervene in this mix of rapidly developing capitalism and nationalism. Is there any chance artists have to exert their views and make themselves heard in this climate, or are they so dependent upon funding from the government that it is very difficult to establish yourself as an independent voice?
Mm-hmm. Yes, in 2009 I started to be interested in the topic of labor and labor politics, and that was connected to my own experience. I had just graduated from Art Academy, and I had to find a strategy to survive economically in order also to work as an artist, to make exhibitions and so on. And so I started to have an interest in the politics at large. Of course, I had it before, but I decided somehow to also to include it to my artwork. So and I think the first thing I did was somehow spontaneously. I drove to Narva, which is the town in the eastern border of Estonia. Eastern border is to Russia, and I visited one former textile factory, Kreenholm, which is quite a big territory. The textile factory has been established in the 19th century, and it was privatized after 1990s, and then slowly from the middle of the 90s, because of this kind of overall global tendency that the textile industry was moving to east, it started to vanish, this manufacturer, and it was closed down finally in 2010. But it was also already 2009 it was clear that it's not able to survive anymore. So, and this was the starting point, that, and I think the Crane Hall, which has been always the symbol of the whole town actually, and that has employed very big part of the population in Narva. So I thought that it's really a symbol of this kind of global tendencies and also neoliberal tendencies, because of course after the closing of the factory there were so many unemployed people in Narva, and of course because it was a textile industry, most of them were women. And I mean in the local media, not in Narva but in general in Estonia, I think this issue wasn't really something that was talked about, and of course I think it was largely ignored by the politics, and here I have to say that in local politics it has been a very neoliberal politics since the beginning of 90s. So it's led by Reform Party, and they have been really this kind of a neoliberal attitude. So I started to be interested in the labor politics, and it was also the time when they in the parliament they were talking about the new labor law. So I decided to include it in my work.
So this work has resulted in two videos and
yes.
A photo series. Yes. I'm interested in how difficult it was for you to find your artistic strategy when it comes to this factory and your work with those unemployed textile workers, most of whom or all of whom, it should be added, belong to the Russian minority.
Yes.
In Estonia. You had mentioned that it was very difficult for you to get them to cooperate with you. Perhaps you could tell me a little bit about that, that you had initially wanted to, in your video forum, to work with the actual women who had been laid off from the Krenholm factory. Mm-hmm. You went to Narva but found that they were unwilling to appear in your video. Maybe you could explain what happened and what their reasons might have been for refusing to cooperate with you.
Yes, first, yes, Narva is the town which is actually largely like populated by Russian speaking people, and it has historical reasons, of course, and that's why the most of these women were Russian speaking, who were like who became unemployed and who worked previously in Krenholm. And yes, of course, I wanted to tell their story. And I was struggling with the idea, and of course I didn't. It would have been maybe easier to make a very straight documentary work with them, maybe some kind of photo series portraying them or something like that. But I think in the very beginning I rejected this idea, because I think I didn't think that it would be an appropriate representation, because I think everybody in their heads they have this kind of visual image of this kind of woman from eastern border of Estonia. So I rejected this idea, and my first video I made concerning this topic was Nora's Sisters, and for that I used archive photos which have been made in Krenholm factory during Soviet time. in the 50s and 60s, and I in this video I also used the text by Elfriede Jelinek from the play Nora, after Nora had left her husband. What happened after Nora had left her husband? And it was spread as a voiceover by Estonian actresses. But the second work, as you mentioned, the second video is called Forum, and I got the idea to make this work when I was watching there is a political TV show in Estonian state television which is called Forum. And of course, as I said before, it was the time when the new labor contract act was discussed in the parliament, and I watched the show when there were like I think four male politics talking about the law, discussing about the law. There were trade unions represented, Reform Party, and all the different sides. And of course, they also mentioned the women from Kreenholm and the representative of Reform Party accused actually these women that they are complaining there in Narva and not really retrained themselves to survive after the closing of the factory. So and this was actually the point when I thought that I had to make something, and I decided to use the text of the video of the TV show to transcribe it, to translate it into the Russian, and then like restage it actually with those women who were talked about in this show. So in order them to take those roles of the politicians and maybe also deliver the text which was not which was to which they not agreed. So I tried to find women from Narva to cooperate with me, but it was really difficult. And I think there are several reasons why it was difficult. I think the first one was that it's very the attitude towards Tallinn or people from Tallinn is really in Narva it's really, how to say, cautious or yes,
suspicious,
yes, because they actually, people in Narva, they feel that they have been abandoned by the Estonian government. And they also feel that the whole this eastern part of Estonia or its northeastern part is somehow demonized in Estonian media, and I think it's partly true also. So that's why they were also suspicious, and of course my knowledge of Russian language is also not so good, and I think I just didn't. They didn't trust me, or it was difficult for them to trust me.
When you were speaking, I was thinking of this video of this short film Forum, and you mentioned education, and I have to say that was one of the most intriguing, interesting moments for me, when one of the officials, played by an unemployed woman from Tallinn, says during this discussion, you know, why didn't these women re-educate themselves sooner? It would have been their responsibility. And I find it very interesting that in the conditions of this neoliberal capitalist economy, education is sort of the means by which we make people feel guilty about their own about their own situation, as if they were themselves to blame for what happened to them, because education would have been what could have rescued them if only they had thought of it. Yeah. Of course, it's not that simple. As another woman then points out, the state doesn't provide any means for this. It would have been very difficult for these women to do this. But education is a kind of a means to pressurize, a means to exert control over these women, even in a situation where they're essentially powerless. And this theme of education comes up in several of your videos. There is another film, I forget its title now, but I believe it's the one where you show these archival It's in Nora Sister, where at the very beginning there is talk about the factory having established a library which sort of brings enlightenment to these workers, but in actual fact is completely irrelevant to their daily lives. So I thought it was quite interesting that this topic of education is something that runs through through your work.
Yes, it's a very very good point you make. I think yes, it's a very central it's very important idea also through all those videos I have made, and I think of course if speaking of education at large, so a lot of has happened here also in the higher education, and I think the neoliberal turn, or I don't know how to express it, but I think it has changed also the educational system, and of course this kind of rhetoric of lifelong learning and so on, it's very widespread. So but I think it's also here from the feminist point of view, I'm very critical towards it, because towards also this lifelong learning, because it's very difficult for women, because if they are expected also have children, and of course here in Estonia it's a very crucial thing that you have to have children, because the population is decreasing, and there have been measures by the government also introduced that to increase the births. So and I think in this regard it's also very difficult for women to like re-educate themselves all the time, or have this kind of lifelong learning, because it's, so.
Could you tell me a little bit about how difficult it is for an artist with interests in feminism to work in Estonia?
Yeah, I think in the art fields right now, like in this local context, it's we have really many discussions about critical art in large, because I think during the 19th the critical art discourse was very strong here, and of course if there is such a small art field, one discourse becomes very dominant, and then of course there are a lot of people who are working differently, and they have become very hostile towards this kind of critical art. So and especially the elder generation. So so I think it's there are this kind of contradiction between those different approaches at large. But being a feminist artist, I think in a way, of course, it's I have felt that I have I have felt some kind of very positive feedback, and it's I have felt that it's somehow important that I do, and I have had the possibilities for discussion and for showing my work. So, but also I have had a lot of critics, like marginalizing myself, and of course using the position to get the attention, because many people say also that it's very, that the easiest way to establish yourself is to make a feminist art. So. I think it's the attitude is very ambiguous, so it's also called as a golden gauge of feminism and so on. So I would say that it has been very ambiguous, but I'm continuing to do that.
Could you say a little bit about sort of sympathies or affinities you feel with the work of other artists? Are there any artists that you feel close to whose work has been influential or important for you, either in the past or in the present? And maybe locate them in the context of your own work?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say that there have not really been a feminist artist in the history of Estonian art who would define themselves clearly as feminist. So I think the first artist who really declared them to be feminist artists were in the 90s, say some names, Mare Tralla, for example, and there have been, of course, artists that have worked with issues connected to femininity or gender, but as I mentioned before, they are reluctant maybe to call themselves feminist, because there is always the threat that you marginalize yourself, or they feel threatened. But I have found some very interesting and inspiring artists from abroad. And for example, I really like the works of Sanja Ivekovic, and recently last May I saw an exhibition in Warsaw in Sahenta Gallery, representing four female artists from '70s who were really consciously working in the feminist discourse. So this for me was not surprising, but just very, very inspiring to know that there have been such artists.
So you mentioned Sanja Ivekovic and artists from Poland. I'd like to know whether you feel that this idea of Eastern Europe, Estonia being a post-socialist country that formerly was part of the Soviet Union, whether this has any relevance today for somebody who is an artist in a place like this, or do you feel that the notion of Eastern Europe has become an irrelevant category these days? Do you is this at all an important reference point for you?
Yeah, I think it's important to the extent that as an artist and working critically or using critical approach, you are always connected to your context. You always come from somewhere, So in this sense, I think it's important. But I don't know. Should we really define ourselves as from Eastern Europe? So it's. I don't think it's relevant anymore. That I would like myself to be named as the artist from Eastern Europe. Or when I think further, I wouldn't want to participate in these exhibitions that are about Eastern Europe art. And I also felt kind of ambiguous when I was visiting this Gender Check exhibition in Vienna. So it was, of course, it was very interesting to see the all these works from different countries from the same period, and I think it was somehow, of course, important exhibition but I think it's now it's maybe it was important in the 90s to re-explore this part of the Europe, but I think for now we should be somehow included already.
Do you feel that the category of the post-socialist condition is more relevant? Because of course there's a slight mm-hmm. contradiction here in the sense that your work mm-hmm. is so concerned with mm-hmm. at least the recent works we've discussed mm-hmm. with the legacies of mm-hmm. socialism as it existed in the Soviet Union, the mm-hmm. Russian minority in Estonia, and labor practices that are to some extent part of a global development of mm-hmm. neoliberal capitalism, but that also represents specific responses mm-hmm. to the economic circumstances in Estonia. Mm-hmm. So while Eastern Europe maybe is a kind of a broad and perhaps no longer very specific category, it seems like post-socialism, which is a concept that encompasses countries even outside of Eastern Europe perhaps, mm-hmm. Perhaps even every country under the mm-hmm. conditions in which we live at the moment. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that that's a more, I mean, you mentioned before that, you know, to an extent, the negotiation of what is local and what is translocal or what is global, that's what every artist does. But in Estonia, of course, you have a very specific, mm-hmm. Very specific history in recent decades that has to do with post-socialist conditions. So I was wondering, do you feel that that's a more relevant category for you that would say make your work quite different from that of an mm-hmm. artist in Germany or France, where you don't have those specific mm-hmm. Conditions of the legacy mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. of socialism? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say, of course, it's a very important context, very important, when talking about the labor politics, which has been recently very very connected to the like global tendencies and dependent on the global tendencies, as for example the textile industry moving the east and so on. So behind that is also this kind of post-Soviet condition, so that makes it I think the problem also more specific. For example, when talking about these women, they lost their job because of the global tendencies, but their situation is even difficult because of the this kind of Soviet legacy, because in the Soviet time they were really as still Russian population in Estonia, but they were really appreciated and equal to the rest of the citizens, but after the Estonia gaining the independence, the language issue became very crucial, and those not speaking official language Estonian suddenly were not included as citizens. They were not. They didn't get citizenship automatically. They had to make a language exam, and through this very difficult exam also, they could like became a citizen. So speaking the official language has been very crucial for them. So and that makes them more vulnerable in the labor market.
So that we could say that your task, what you want to do as an artist, would be to somehow find ways of understanding the specific ways in which certain global tendencies manifest themselves under the very specific conditions of post-socialist Estonia, and the way in which this has influenced the lives of these women. So what do you think the benefit of an approach like yours can be? I mean, I realize that this is sort of a somewhat silly question, because those benefits will obviously be more or less direct, but I was wondering whether you had any sense of what you want to achieve with, let's say, a work like Forum, or with your work with these women who were laid off from the Krenholm factory. Do you think there'll be that work like this can have any palpable effect politically, socially, artistically?
I'm not an idealist, but I think that it has an effect of becoming aware, at least for those who come to the exhibition or who attend in the screenings. I wouldn't dream of really changing the social situation, and partly because also I think the art in Estonia, also critical art, it's not really much discussed about. It's always only discussed in the inside the like art field, but not really outside. And people are also not really maybe so politically aware in Estonia. So we don't have this tradition activists and artists like working together having discussions together. So it's I think it's also developing maybe right now, and maybe in the future we will have like more like broader discussions.
Do you think you might go back to Narva at some point and talk to these women again about the work you've done, or do you think that's fruitless, that's not going to be useful?
It would be interesting actually to do something like that, but I was I am right now thinking doing maybe something else in Narva actually to I don't have any very specific ideas, but I felt somehow obligated to do something there, because as I said, it's a very very good location also, because it's so near to the St. Petersburg, and I think the only thing that could make the city more lively would be that there would be more culture, I think it would be good to make some kind of project there, and maybe include some of those women. I don't know. It's really just an vague idea.
Great. Well, then I want to thank you for the conversation. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.